Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the headline articles under the banner of City of Monticello. The headline reads, Preliminary Budget Passed by City Council. A preliminary budget presented to the Monticello City Council Monday showed a $500,000 deficit in the general fund. But City Alderman and City Administrator Terry Summers both agreed that number would be brought down prior to final budget approval next month. Budget work was set to continue at a special council work session Wednesday night at 6 p.m. To be prudent, we ought to sharpen the pencils and try to make this piece of paper and the equations equal out. At least bring that to the table during the study session, said Alderman Cochran Keating. I think without a doubt we need to get that gap narrowed down, agreed Summers. This is a preliminary budget in the full sense of the word preliminary. Revenues are expected to decrease about $159,000 in 2018. Much of that due to an anticipated drop of $200,000 in corporate personal property replacement tax proceeds. Projects in the preliminary budget include $80,000 as a first payment toward a $620,000 public works building, $50,000 for engineering work on a possible extension of water and sewer mains west across Old Route 47, $9,500 for water tank maintenance, and $135,000 to pave the rock portion of Sangamon River hike and bike trail. Also in next year's budget proposal is $225,000 for a pedestrian crossing at Market and Washington Streets, but that would be funded by motor fuel tax proceeds instead of general funds. It's not simply painting a white stripe on Market Street to help kids cross. It's signalization, it's warning signs, streetscape design. To match the rest of the downtown area, said Summers, a major improvement would be to that north side of Washington Street where Cabbage Road used to reside. That's quite the ordeal there. He also hoped to have an estimate on the study session of what engineering would cost to help design the 30-acre recreation site planned for the west side of town. The budget also features a 2.25% pay increase to all applicable employees, a 2% increase on administration expenses, and a police department budget with less than a 1% increase. It also includes dollars for the purchase of two backhoes and one loader for the Public Works Department, while still decreasing that department's spending by about 1%, said Summers. Demolition of the closed Old Route 47 bridge and construction of a new crossing could also begin in 2018. That would also be paid out of motor fuel tax funds. Summers said the city tries to budget conservatively to account for unseen circumstances, and that actual spending had been in the black most years. City Human Resources Specialist Maura Metcalf said the city had spent $418,000 less than it had taken in through October of 2017. And this section is under the heading of Auditor. The closest vote of the night was a 4-3 tally to hire May, Cocaine, and King to conduct the city's annual audit. The firm has done so for many years, but former administrator Bob Mart had discussed putting the job out for bid. Alderman Joe Brown was one of three aldermen who voted against the $18,500 contract with the city's current auditor. I'd like to see a different firm employed, said Brown, pointing out he had asked for there to be another option presented this year. Keating and Ian Clark were also voted against the contract, making it a 3-3 tie. Mayor Larry Stoner voted yes to break the tie and approve the motion to employ the auditing firm. This is under the heading of Zoning Issues. K Council members also approved two zoning measures. The first was a conditional use request by Harold and Laura Smith to add a secondary accessory structure at their home at 340 East Wilson Street. The 16 by 12 foot shed will be in compliance with city setback requirements. Alderman also endorsed a variance request for Leslie Glickman at 208 North Chase Street. An addition to her home will bring it within a foot of the property line along Railroad Street, which necessitated the variance. It's a fairly small lot, as they are in older sections of town, said Building and Zoning Administrator Pat Gleason. The City Planning and Zoning Board had unanimously recommended approval for both zoning requests. In his administrator's report, Summers said Spencer Atkins has taken possession of the former First Mid-Illinois Bank building, now known as the Moore Building. The first task is roof repair, which could take place before the end of the year. Summers also thanked the Monticello Rotary Club for planting 17 new trees in the dry detention basin located east of Buchanan Street and south of the city's proposed bike and hike trail adjacent to the Monticello Railway Museum railroad tracks. I would like to extend sincere appreciation to Rotary President Mr. Mike Harris and his fellow Rotarians for a great addition to our community, said Summers. And in other action, the council was informed a ribbon cutting for a new business, Levy Tree, will be held at 6 p.m. Thursday at the business location, 206 West Washington Street. They also were told by the mayor that the city will raise a state bicentennial flag at the high school at 12 p.m. Monday, December 4th. The public is invited. The event is part of the upcoming 200th anniversary of Illinois achieving statehood. And finally, the council was reminded the annual Christmas parade is at 11:30 a.m. this Saturday. That's tomorrow. Next on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Monticello Schools, and the headline reads, School Board Aims for Similar Tax Rate on Levy. At the urging of the Monticello School Board, the district will target a 2017 tax rate that is similar to last year's $3.49 per $100 of assessed valuation. An original proposal presented by Superintendent Vic Zimmerman on November 15th proposed a levy amount that would have resulted in an estimated tax rate of $3.53388 for property taxes paid in 2018. But after approving an increase from $3.36 to $3.49 last year, some board members felt it would be wise to keep the rate similar, especially if voters will be asked next spring to fund a $29.8 million high school renovation plan. If this is the type of perception we want of increasing the tax levy with a referendum coming up, said board member Kevin Fry, I'm just trying to get peace with that if that's a concern from a timing standpoint. Fellow board member Zach Hillard agreed. Granted, it's only 1% more, but if we just keep letting this go, eventually we will be going higher. I think it's a benefit to the community to have lower tax rates, he said. Even with a similar tax rate as 2016, the district will likely net more property tax dollars. Zimmerman said the Piatt County Assessor estimated land value in the district will rise by about 6.9%, tripling the largest rise seen in the district in the last 6 years. We've had quite a bit of new construction. There's been a lot of new houses built compared to what we've had in recent years, commented Zimmerman. Board members directed Zimmerman to structure this year's levy to keep the tax rate similar to 2016. The levy is a total dollar figure for 2017. Taxable in 2018, the number is $8,211,569. But the actual tax rate is not known until assessments on property within the district are finalized. There is a certain amount of guesstimating, added Board President Gary Huizenga. Even with the $3.49 target, a truth in taxation hearing will be required, mostly due to the anticipation of higher land value, producing a total dollar figure that is 8.08% more than what was extended as a result of the 2016 levy. The truth in taxation hearing will be held at the school board 7 p.m. December 20th meeting, to be held in the media center at the high school. Zimmerman said the district routinely requires a truth in taxation hearing due to his philosophy that dollars could be left behind if land value goes up higher than initial estimates. The levy dollar amount approved is the most that can be extended. We usually receive about 97% of what we levy for, he said. If we knew exactly what our EAV was going to be instead of an estimate, then we would not balloon levy. This is a function of the tax cycle that all taxing bodies must deal with. He added his original levy targeted a slight tax increase in light of the fact we may be facing a statewide tax freeze. Zimmerman estimated the difference between tax rates, $3.50 and 3.53388, would save the owner of property assessed at $175,000 about $20 on next year's tax bill. Property taxes account for 40-50% of the district's operating income. Its current tax levy is the lowest in central Illinois. Now, moving around the county a little bit, this article is under the banner of Cerro Gordo Schools, and the headline reads, Charlie Brown Christmas set for this Saturday in Cerro Gordo. The classic animated television special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, will come to life in a faithful stage adaptation in Cerro Gordo this Saturday. The play features Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the rest of the Peanuts gang discovering the true meaning of Christmas. Cerro Gordo Junior High School choir students are presenting this time-honored tradition at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Saturday, December 2nd in the junior high school. The show will open with a mini cabaret of holiday songs by the choir and several soloists, followed by the musical. The evening show will include cookies and punch. Tickets will be available for sale at the door. And now, under the headline of banner of Ivesdale, we have this article headlined Cross Named to Ivesdale Board. A new member has joined the Ivesdale Village Board. The board voted 4-1 on November 20th to approve Village President Danny Bates' recommendation for Justin Cross to replace Gary Jean, who resigned because he was moving outside of the village limits. Kim Summers voted against the appointment. Bates interviewed two other candidates, Sean Tangy and Gene's son, Jared. I thought he, Tangy, was a really good candidate, but he made it clear he's going to be in Monticello next year, Bates said. I just thought at this time maybe he, Jared Gene, needed two or three more years to be more involved around town, Bates said. Justin was pretty level-headed and clear on what he'd like to see get done, Bates said, adding that Cross has experience serving on committees. I encouraged all three of them to run when the time comes for them to run for election. Cross, a Tolono native, has lived in Ivesdale for 9 years and is an international component relations manager at the International Society of Arbor Culture. Our next article is headlined Bement Food Bank. The Monticello Fund and Eastern Illinois Food Bank are teaming up to distribute a truckload of food from the Eastern Illinois Food Bank to hungry area families. The distribution will be held from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. December 9th at Bement Fire Station 1. That's 301 South Sagamon Street in Bement. All Piatt County residents who meet income eligibility criteria are welcome. Those attending are asked to bring boxes or bags to transport food. The distribution is part of the food bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to areas of chronic or extreme need. Through the program, local communities and companies and organizations are invited to contribute toward a one-day distribution of food and optionally participate in the distribution process. The cost to partner with the food bank on a Food Mobile distribution is $3,000. The Foodmobile distribution comes at a critical moment for area residents. Data released by Feeding America, the nation's network of food banks, shows that a staggering 14% of people in eastern Illinois are considered food insecure, which means they sometimes lack adequate access to food. More shockingly, nearly 20% of children are food insecure. All eligible residents of Piatt County needing food are welcome to attend the Foodmobile distribution. To be eligible, a household must have an income at or below 185% of the federal poverty level, or approximately $3,746 per month for a family of four. Other area Foodmobile distributions can be found by visiting the food bank's website at www.eifoodbank.org and clicking Find Help. Our next article is headlined Bryant Cottage Open House. Bryant Cottage State Historic Site will welcome the holiday season with the 32nd Annual Holiday Open House and a Christmas Tea Fundraiser on Saturday, December 9th. Christmas tea sessions throughout the day will provide a chance to get into the Christmas spirit. Children will get the chance to enjoy delicious treats and drinks, Christmas stories and music, and a trip to one of Santa's secret elfin workshops where they will make a holiday craft. This year's Christmas tea will take place at the Lost in Time Museum in Bement. One-hour Christmas tea sessions are available at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 1 p.m., and are limited to 6 children per session. Organizers request that children are accompanied by an adult. A minimum donation per person is suggested. All donations go to benefit the Bryant Cottage. Reservations are required and can be made by contacting Bryant Cottage at 217-678-8184 or hpa.bryantcottage@illinois.gov. This section is under the heading of 32nd Annual Holiday Open House. Visitors to Bryant Cottage will get to experience holiday traditions in the 19th century style from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, December 9th. Guests will enjoy exploring the period decorations throughout the Bryant home, lit only by candlelight. A large Christmas tree will be decorated in handmade ornaments, similar to those of the 19th century. Musician Sarah Henry will provide live holiday music with her dulcimer and other instruments. Carriage rides will also be available to visitors. Serenity Farms carriages will take trips around the community park, lit with dozens of luminaries, before returning to Bryant Cottage. The carriage rides are supported in part by the Bement Community Council. The evening of cheer serves as the perfect close to the Christmas in Bement festivities and a great celebration of the holiday season. Continuing a Bryant Cottage tradition, the first 30 families will receive a unique Christmas ornament. Bryant Cottage State Historic Site, managed by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, is located at 146 East Wilson Avenue in Bement. Bryant Cottage was built in 1856, according to Bryant family tradition, on the evening of July 29, 1858. Stephen A. Douglas and Abraham Lincoln conferred in the parlor of the house to plan the famous Lincoln-Douglas debates. During March through October, Bryant Cottage is open to visitors Thursday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and is open Thursday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. during November through February. And now turning to page A3, under the briefs section, we have the following vignettes of interest. The first is entitled Veterans Benefit Breakfast in Cisco. The Cisco American Legion will be serving its Veterans Benefit Breakfast from 7 to 10 a.m. Saturday, December 2nd, that is tomorrow. The breakfast will consist of scrambled eggs, sausage links, bacon, biscuits and sausage gravy, pancakes, juice, milk, and coffee. The next item is entitled Bicentennial Flag Raising, December 4th. The City of Monticello will participate in a statewide Illinois Bicentennial Flag Raising Ceremony on Monday, December 4th. Mayor Larry Stoner invites the community to the local ceremony, which will be held at 12 p.m. at the Monticello High School flagpole on the State Street side. The Governor's Cup winning MHS Marching Sages will perform the state song. Mayor Stoner will read a proclamation and an official Illinois Bicentennial flag will be raised. The event will kick off a year-long celebration that will pay tribute to the people, places, and things that are being born, built, and grown in Illinois every single day. The next item is entitled BMET Salvation Army Kettles. BMET Salvation Army Kettle Collections and Bell Ringers will be working with kettles on December 9th and 16th, those are both Saturdays, at stands located in front of both JTA Foods and Marathon from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and before the BMET Christmas Parade on December 9th. As in the past several years, most bell ringing services will be provided by youth from BMET schools. Donations the past 3 years have exceeded those from the previous season, helping many families locally. And finally, this brief is entitled D-Land Legion Pancakes with Santa. The D-Land American Legion Auxiliary will hold Pancakes with Santa from 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday, December 2nd at the Legion Hall. A reminder again, that is tomorrow. Following Pancakes with Santa, Legion members and their families are welcome to take part in their float in the Monticello Christmas Parade. And now, turning to page A5, we have just one obituary, one death notices of local or area interest. Rita Foster Justice, 87, of Monticello, passed away at 3:48 a.m. November 21st, 2017, at Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. Services were at 11 a.m. Saturday, November 25th, at Calvert Funeral Home in Argenta, with Reverend Andrew Maxwell officiating. Burial followed at Harristown Cemetery in Harristown. Visitation was from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, November 25th, at the funeral home. Memorials may be directed to the Roman Family Foundation, 737 North Michigan Avenue, Suite 1520. Chicago, Illinois, 60611. And now returning to the news, on page A2, under the banner of business, we have this article headlined, Lloyd to Retire from Farm Credit. Mike Lloyd is retiring from Farm Credit Illinois November 30th after 33 years with the Farm Credit system. Lloyd most recently served as Vice President of Marketplace Initiatives based at the Financial Cooperative's headquarters in Mahomet. Lloyd spent his formative years on his family's Williamson and Union County grain and livestock farms. Before joining the workforce, he received bachelor's and master's degrees in instructional systems design from Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. During his tenure, Lloyd and the association's marketing team were recognized with the Classic Telly Award, several National Agri-Marketing Association Awards, and the Farm Credit System's 2007 Marketing Showcase Award for the Farm Progress Show. He's a 31-year member of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. At the beginning of his Farm Credit career, Lloyd worked at the Farm Credit Bank of St. Louis as the marketing supervisor and played a lead role in communicating the merger of the Farm Credit Banks of St. Louis and St. Paul that formed Agribank in 1992. After 2 years consulting for Agribank in St. Paul, Minnesota, Lloyd transitioned to the marketing department for Farm Credit Services of Southeastern Illinois in Mount Vernon in 1995. When the Southeastern and Central Illinois Associations moved to joint management in 1999, Lloyd provided communications leadership and was named the head of marketing department in the newly formed association in 2001. Which eventually became Farm Credit Illinois. Lloyd and his wife Candy reside in rural Mansfield. Mike has one daughter, Lindsay, two stepchildren, Carrie and Tyler, and three step-grandchildren, Logan, Finn, and Avery. Congratulations to Mike Lloyd. And now from page A3, under the banner of Allerton Park, we have this headline, All is Bright event, December 8th. Allerton Park and Retreat Center is hosting several holiday festivities, including All is Bright, starting at 5 p.m. on December 8th, which features the opening of the Kirby Winter Wellness Walk and the Holiday Showcase. All events will be held at the estate, 515 Old Timber Road in Monticello. All is Bright attendees can enjoy festive music on the illuminated Kirby Winter Wellness Walk Stop by the Visitor Center for popcorn and hot chocolate. Take part in the Monticello Area Arts Council's Natural Ornament Making Workshop. Cuddle up on a carriage ride or gather around the bonfire to enjoy Mama D's Smokehouse food truck. Inside the mansion, the opening night of the Holiday Showcase will feature over 30 artisans and businesses selling their unique products and handcrafted wares, along with live music and a cash bar. Holiday Showcase tickets are available at a discounted price before December 1st. Sorry about that. Other activities are free, but donations are appreciated. The showcase will continue Saturday, December 9th and Sunday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Limited lunch reservations still remain for Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Park officials note that this time of year is a favorite for the community to visit and kick off the season. The holidays are about gatherings of your friends and family, Allerton's director Derek Peterson said. We are so thankful that Allerton is a place where people choose to come together. It's neat to see generations making memories here year after year. Thanks to the continued support of Kirby Medical Center, the Wellness Walk has been expanded a quarter mile this year, with lights extending past the Visitor Center to the Adams statue and into the meadow. The illuminated walk, meant to encourage the public to stay active through the winter and to experience Allerton after dark, is approximately 0.75 miles round trip and will be open after the park typically closes 5 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday through Saturday until January 6th. For more information and to purchase tickets for All is Bright or the Holiday Showcase, visit allerton.illinois.edu or call 217-333-3287. Our next article is headlined Munns Named Volunteer of the Year. Monica Munns has been named the Allerton Park and Retreat Center Volunteer of the Year for 2017. Munns has been a volunteer at Allerton for 5 years and has been volunteering regularly for several years in the formal gardens, especially the brick wall garden where she weeds, waters, prunes, and plants. Her solo work in the formal gardens has snowballed into a group of regular volunteers who call themselves LAW, Ladies Against Weeds. She has also taken on a seasonal staff role at the park. 4 years ago, she started as a volunteer at Allerton Day Camp, then became a day camp leader, and has for 2 years now been camp director. She also organizes and leads groups of kids through adventures at Allerton. In addition to these things, Monica is always willing to help out with miscellaneous volunteer projects, whether it's working at the welcome table at concerts or outdoor workadays. She is dependable, fun, and a bright spot for all who see her, said Mindy Brand, the volunteer coordinator at Allerton Park and Retreat Center. And finally today, this article is under the banner of Allerton Public Library. The headline reads, Pearl Harbor Presentation at Library on December 9th. Historian Jim Gibbons will present Pearl Harbor, A Day That Will Live in Infamy at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 9th at the Allerton Public Library, 4000 Green Apple Lane in Monticello. On December 7th, 1941, the U.S. was attacked by Japanese naval and air forces and then thrust from isolationism into World War II. Gibbons will present how the government in Washington and the people of the United States were wooed to vulnerability and then struck hard by the Empire of Japan. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.